Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Over the next 5 weeks, the plan is to go through this passion narrative as it is drawn in harmony from the four Gospels. And as such, as you heard, the reading for tonight is quite lengthy, so I'll try to preach the same length. The text for tonight is about the Lord's Supper, the supper that Jesus has with his disciples before he moves forward in his passion story. Jesus, in this Passover, attends a service that he has been to every year of his life, a service that he's very familiar with. He is reminded of the fact that God had delivered his Old Testament people out of Egypt, and he did so by slaying the firstborn son. That 10th plague was the last plague that it finally took for Pharaoh to agree to let the children of God go. And in order to protect the households of the Jews, God directed them to slay a lamb and use the blood from that lamb to mark their doorposts so that when the angel of death came, it would pass over their houses. They had a meal. And so Jesus has this meal one last time with his disciples. And he institutes here a much more important meal. It's not necessarily that this is somehow different, but also somehow the same. You see, the fact is that the Passover was instituted as a partial substitute until the proper time. The Passover was given while we awaited the coming of the Son. His Passover, from death to life, then, is the fulfillment of that Passover. The Lamb is slain. His blood now marks our doors, and the angel of death passes over us. A historic thing in the church that we don't really see much anymore was that before the words of institution and before the Lord's Prayer were sung, there would be this thing called an exhortation. And in that exhortation, a proclamation of what was about to be received would be given. And so I want to share with you one of those proclamations, one of those exhortations. This is from the Chief Divine Service by Friedrich Lochner. We're going through it a bit in Bible study right now on Sunday mornings. That's not just a plug for Sunday morning Bible study, but you should totally come to that too. So here is one of those exhortations. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we heartily thank you that because of our sin and for our salvation, you have caused your only beloved Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to be made man, to suffer so many unspeakable agonies, and to die a bitter death upon the cross, who, lest we should forget what he endured for us, also commanded us to keep this present remembrance of his agony and death in the Holy Supper, in which he, out of his unspeakable love, truly gives us in and with this bread and wine the very body which died for us upon the cross, and the very blood which was shed for us upon the cross, to eat and to drink, that we may not doubt, but the more confidently believe that his death and the shedding of his blood upon the cross is our certain salvation. By the same, your dear Son, the only mediator between you, the righteous God, and us poor sinners, and by his bloody merit, we beseech you, O Heavenly Father, that you have mercy upon us all. Look upon the face of this, our faithful mediator, your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, who intercedes for us and is our advocate at your right hand. Regard his holy, innocent bloodshed, suffering, and death, which he endured for our trespasses, with all patience, out of unspeakable love for us lost men. Forgive us our sins, and give us your Holy Spirit, that renouncing ungodliness and worldly lusts, we may live in this world moderately toward ourselves, justly toward our neighbors, and in constant childlike fear toward you, O God, our Heavenly Father. As we await the blessed hope and appearing of the glory of our mighty God, your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, let each of us take up his cross, Follow your dear Son, and love one another even as your dear Son has loved us. For this holy sacrament is one bread, and we are all one body, since we partake of one bread and all drink of one cup. Grant to us also, and to all believing Christians, as it is profitable and good for us, that we may conduct and conclude this life in fear of you, and obtain eternal salvation. Whereupon, let us say from our heart, Amen. This is one of five exhortations included in this book. Many of them are actually longer, but they have a very long-standing tradition in the church. That exhortation served also to remind people that were present that those who were to come forward and kneel and receive this sacrament all confessed that this is the body and the blood of Christ, given and shed for us poor sinners. This exhortation is reminding all present that only if this is your confession of faith, that you truly believe that Jesus Christ is bodily present in his supper, were you to come forward in the Lutheran Church to receive that supper. It also reminds us of the importance of confessing our sins, approaching the table of the Lord in that repentant state. Some of those words you might remember from last week, because this exhortation does find its way into what we call the service of corporate confession and absolution. If you were here last week, or if you come on Maundy Thursday, these words should sound familiar to you. In the same way, also, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Again, it is as if he said, I have had mercy on you by taking into myself all your iniquities. I give myself into death, shedding my blood to obtain grace and forgiveness of sins, and to comfort and establish the New Testament, which gives forgiveness and everlasting salvation. As a pledge of this, I give you my blood to drink. Therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup, confidently believing this word and promise of Christ, dwells in Christ and Christ in him and has eternal life. We should also do this in remembrance of him, showing his death, that he was delivered for our offenses and raised for our justification. Giving him our most heartfelt thanks, we take up our cross and follow him, and according to his commandment, love one another as he has loved us. For we are all one bread and one body, even as we are all partakers of this one bread and drink from the one cup. For just as the one cup is filled with wine of many grapes and one bread made from countless grains, so also we, being many, are one body in Christ. Because of him we love one another, not only in word, but in deed and in truth. Words, unfortunately, only recited about twice a year. But I think you can understand the importance that what we have here is a divine mystery. It is not something to just be given out willy-nilly. It is rather something to be meditated upon. It is something to approach with repentant hearts, a heart that has confessed sins to God, approaching, believing the words that Jesus actually proclaimed over that bread and wine. It doesn't make logical sense. But guess what? It doesn't have to. God is smarter than us. And the sooner we realize that, the better off we're going to be. So when Jesus says, take, eat, this is my body, we're going to believe it's his body. And when he takes the cup and he says, drink of it, all of you, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, we're going to believe it's his blood. Not because it makes logical sense, because that's what Jesus said it is. We all partake of the one bread. Even though we are many, we come forward to receive one loaf sliced into very fine pieces. That one cup, as the Lord instituted, is still present for us. No germs can get in the way of what Christ has instituted. Nothing else certainly can. And while fear and foreboding have instituted other methods to receive the blood of Christ, and while we do know that even if it's separated into many cups, it is still his blood, when we kneel together and we drink from the same cup, as a family, we make a strong confession. a confession that this blood has been received to us, not to our harm, if we come faithfully, but to our benefit, to our blessing. The bread that is Christ's body, the wine that is Christ's blood, is a holy medicine, a medicine that is detrimental to the soul who is not worthy to receive it. Jesus gives us his clear instructions, and Paul then encourages us and reminds us that he who eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks judgment on himself. So it is with repentant hearts and hearts that believe what Jesus has said that approach the table. We receive this supper Sunday after Sunday. Sunday is the Lord's day. And I wish that every church would have the same blessed practice that we do here, a practice that far predates my presence here, and that is every Sunday communion. What a joy and a blessing it is, though, to be here, where we hear of God's word week after week, day after day, and every Sunday we gather around that table to receive his blessed sacrament, a sacrament that forgives even the sins of Peter, who would deny him three times, the sins of us who turn against him time after time. Jesus has done all of this to forgive our sins, and what we receive in his supper is exactly that. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.